This evening we shall be doing some reading out of the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Before we look at the Word of God together, once again let us pray. Our Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the great blessing of being able to assemble together in the name of our Savior. And we thank you again and again for the Holy Scriptures. Help us, Lord God, to grow in our appreciation. And tonight, as we look at what you have had recorded, history that took place many, many centuries ago, help us to understand it, and by your grace, to properly bring it over into our own personal lives. That what we consider will help shape us more into the image of Christ. What we consider will help us, Lord God, to meet the various challenges that will come our way in this coming week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have any personal keepsake or memento that's really special to you? You know, a particular item or object that maybe you inherited it, or it was given to you by a special person, your grandfather, grandmother, father, mother, aunt uncle, aunt, or maybe just a very good friend. And you look at that object, maybe you handle that object, and it brings to mind certain people, maybe certain events. It has meaning, certainly, to you. And I know a lot of men, they kept their high school letter jackets. I kept mine for a long time, and I would see that jacket hanging out in the washroom, and I'd say, man, I used to be able to get into that. And then it would remind me of certain events and coaches and people and kind of pleasant memories. But the Lord God does this. He has certain things preserved to help the people of God remember their history. For you know, with reference to the Ark of the Covenant, what did we have in there? Well, there was Aaron's rod that budded, you remember. And then there was the manna. And then there was the law. Well, what was this? Well, it was reminding the people of their history, reminding the people of certain things that took place and how the Lord God Almighty had dealt with them, how perhaps the Lord God Almighty had rescued them, how the Lord God Almighty had severely chastened them. And then, of course, you have the Passover meal, which reminded them of their great redemption out of the land of Egypt. And then you bring it on down. You remember David. And, of course, you think of David, oh, well, the slaying of Goliath, and that he did with a slingshot and a stone, and he toppled him, and he got on top of the giant. Well, he was going to take off his head. Well, he didn't have a sword, but the giant did, so he took the giant's sword, cut off his head. And then you read an interesting little statement. He took that sword and evidently some other items off of Goliath and hid them in his tent. What a souvenir, the sword of Goliath. And then later on, it shows up in the tabernacle, and when David is running for his life from Saul, he is given that sword. So the point is, certain things remind us and strengthen us in our faith. And well, tonight, obviously, we're going to look at Elisha, and he got a memento. What did he get? Well, you know very well what he got. He got the cloak of Elijah, the cloak of a spiritual father. And so I'll pick it up reading at verse 9 down through verse 18. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, my father! The chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Then they said to him, "Look, now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please, let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord had taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send them." Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" Amen. Well, so here is Elisha, and you have that cry, my father," it would be his spiritual father, you see. He is the one who trained Elisha. He is the one, you see, who helped develop him. And if you stop and think about it, probably most of us have, we could call a spiritual father or two in our lives. You might think back, who was involved in instructing you and giving you prayer and everything and brought you to the conversion in Jesus Christ? You will look upon him as somewhat of a spiritual father. And add to that, who is it that came into your life at various times in the providence of God who helped you develop your faith, who instructed you? Now, you remember the Apostle Paul, he said with reference to Timothy, "My son in the faith." He was his spiritual father. And then later on, with reference to the Corinthians in that 4th chapter, Paul says, "You may have 10,000 instructors, but you've only got one father." You see, he was the one the Lord used to bring them to faith. And here we have this matter of Elisha, and he looks upon Elijah as his spiritual father. And so you go back and you remember in that 19th chapter of 1 Kings, with reference to the Lord giving a commission to Elijah, he has been brought forth from his time of depression, and he brings it out this way. He says, "Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place." And you notice the terminology. You shall anoint him as prophet in your place. And so he goes, you remember, and he finds Elisha, and he's out busy plowing in a field, and the number of oxen they have, it appears that he's a rich kid's son at a pretty big estate. And so Elijah goes up and throws his mantle over him, and of course Elijah runs after him, and there's that time with the family, and then he spends his time with him. And later on in the next chapter, it speaks about Elisha is the one who poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, he was his servant. And so Elijah was the spiritual father of Elisha. And so he was trained, he was taught. And so here, his spiritual father is taken away from him, and he asks, you know, "Can I get a double portion, really, of your spirit?" And we talked what that might be, is maybe his boldness and his strength and all of that. And so now his father's taken away from him, and he looks up and he tears his clothes, which was an outward expression of some inward grief and sorrow. And so I've thought sometimes, I wonder how long Elisha stood there looking up into heaven. Now you remember the disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended, they stood there looking up into heaven, and the angels say, "Well, what are you standing there looking for? He'll come back the same way. You have work to do." And so here you see, here's Elisha. He looks, he gets a hold of himself, and he picks up Elijah's mantle, and he heads to the Jordan River. Now, you remember previous to this that Elijah and Elisha had crossed over the Jordan River. And Elijah is the one who took his mantle. He struck the river. They went over on dry land. Well, of course, the river's come back. And so here is Elisha. He has the mantle. He goes up to the river. And The river is flowing right along. How wide it was there, how deep it was there, I have no idea of knowing. Sometimes with reference to the Jordan, it can be quite wide and fast running. Other times it's a very narrow stream. So here he stands, and what does he do? Well, you notice he took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He didn't ask, "Where's Elijah?" He knew where Elijah, he'd gone into heaven. But he wants to know, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when it also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that way, and Elisha crossed over. And so here it seems in the first place, this assurance for Elisha, this assurance that the Spirit of God is resting now upon Elisha. He has now taken the place of Elijah. For a long time, you remember Elijah, I'm sure there were other prophets. We know some were put in caves. We know about the school of the prophets. But he was the main prophet to Israel. He was the spokesman of God to that nation. He was the one who undoubtedly was the schoolmaster over the school of the prophets. But here he is. The mantle fell upon him. God sovereignly chose him to be the head prophet to the nation. There were other prophets, you know that. But you see, the Lord in a sovereign right, he chooses whom he wants to be his mouthpiece. And so here, he chooses, and here we have Elisha, and it's very evident, you see, that the Spirit of God is upon him, that authority is upon him, that mantle, in one sense, yes, it was a covering and it was protection, but it also spoke about authority. And so you pick it up again. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way, that way, and Elisha crossed over. Now you notice the testimony of the seminary students. What did they say? "Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him." And so they recognize what has happened. And of course, this was great assurance, you see, for Elisha. The Spirit of God is upon me. The God of Elijah is with me. And so the students recognize that. And so here's the Lord giving assurance to his servant. And is it not true that we, not that we're prophets, but as servants, hasn't he given us assurance that we belong to him? Doesn't Romans 5 talk about the fact that the Holy Spirit has made us aware of the love of God in that fifth chapter, verse 5? Yes, it is. The Holy Spirit assures his people, "You belong to me," you see. And so here, this assurance. But then the second thing I pick up out of the passage, we'll call it an argument. There's some arguing that takes place. I know we're simply supposed to say, well, a little disagreement. No, I think there was an argument here. And so let's pick up on this argument. You notice they bow to the ground. They acknowledge that Elisha has taken the place of Elijah. He is the headmaster of the schools of the prophets now. So they show him that due respect. And they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please, let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." Now, this is an interesting request, 50 men. And they had seen what has happened. So when you go back, you pick it up and you have these sons of the prophets in verse 7. They're facing them at a distance. In other words, they are kind of in an elevated place and they watch the two men. And they are witness to the fact that Elijah was taken up in this whirlwind. But then they come around, they say, "Well, you know, maybe the Spirit of God has dropped him off someplace." Well, of course, Elisha knew differently. And so they badger him about this. And why would they do this? Could there possibly be that maybe some of these sons of the prophets didn't really like Elisha?
They really liked Elijah. They'd known him for a long time. He was their teacher, you see. And you know what? If we can find Elijah, then that takes away Elisha from being the headmaster. Maybe, I don't know. But in other words, there's some kind of unbelief here. And so they say, let us go search. And he says, you'll not send anyone. Well, that wasn't good enough. I mean, he's the new headmaster, but yet they want to argue. I mean, seminary students, especially if they're juniors, they know everything, you see. And so they knew what was best. And so here you notice, and when they urged him till he was ashamed, in what way might they urge him? Well, they might say, what? You were with him for years. Don't you care about him? Oh, that's the big thing to get people up. Don't you care? Don't you care about your master? Don't you realize maybe he was dropped on a mountain or in a valley and he's out there. Maybe he's injured and he's hungry and thirsty and there are wild animals. Don't you care? And so they keep asking, don't you care? Maybe like nowadays they say, well, what are you, a racist? And so here they're all concerned about this. And they go back and forth, and finally he says to them, send them, let them go. And so you pick it up, therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he stayed there in Jericho. So here, these men, 50 of them, a lot of wasted time, a lot of wasted energy. And then think about, in the third place, some authority. The authority comes out this way. They came back. Elisha's there at Jericho. He said to them, did I not say to you, do not go? And there are some who say, well, you know, Elisha didn't need to do that. It was a little bit harsh. You didn't need to rub it in these boys' faces. But you know, there are times when people need to be faced with the fact that they've done something they shouldn't. You remember the Apostle Paul and the ship going to Rome and the terrible storm and all that. And previous to that, he had told the men, he told the captain of the ship and others, don't sail. You're in danger of losing the ship and losing lives. But yet, the big merchantman who had all his merchandise and wanted to get it to Rome and to sell it and make some money persuaded the captain of the ship, go ahead and sail. And after they got caught in that storm, what did Paul say? You should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. And so here, Elisha saying, you should have listened to me. And so they were learning a lesson here with reference to authority. Listen to your teacher. Listen to the prophet. He had that authority, but they would flaunt that authority. They knew best. And so it's kind of a warning to us, is it not? We need to pay attention to our prophet. And of course, our prophet is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here are these men, and they had this great desire. They just felt so strongly. We've got to go look for Elijah. We'll help him if we find him. And a strong desire, but you see, a strong desire doesn't always mean it's right. You look at Psalm 106. Oh, how they desired meat. And so they kept badgering God for meat. And so it says, he gave it to them and sent leanness to their souls, or a wasting disease to their souls. You see, our desires, even some very strong desires, maybe they keep us awake at night. Those desires must always be checked out and searched out with reference to the Word of God. You have some real strong desire about something? Have you considered the Word of God? What does it say? Desire can be twisted, you see, because we are yet sinners. And so as parents, it could be in the rearing of your children from time to time, They just were set on doing this and this, and you knew it wasn't best for them, but you let them do it. Why? Learn a lesson. My daddy, I can hear the word, son, you always got to learn things the hard way, don't you? He'd let me do certain things, and I paid the price for it. And so here's Elisha. Remember, listen to me. And so we, as I said, we are to listen to our prophet. We are to listen to the word of God with reverence to all of our decisions. And we are always to bring into play that favorite verse you have, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. You acknowledge him, and he shall direct your steps. Amen. Let us now be dismissed in prayer. Our Lord God Almighty, we bow in your presence, and we thank you again for the great blessing of being able to assemble together in the name of our Savior. And Lord God, we ask that you would help us to continue to ponder some of the matters that we have thought upon this day, and give us light and understanding, and that which was spoken not according to truth. By your grace, let no heart be troubled. For that which is in the light of your word, help us, Lord God, to make a proper response. We are mindful of brothers and sisters who are away from us or can't be with us at this time. We ask that you would grant to them journey mercies as we think of Sheila, Lord God, and we also think of Olivia, that you'd be merciful to them. Give them wisdom in their witness. We do pray for our brother Darrell and his illness, that you would soon lift him up. And for others, Lord God, of which we may be unaware, have mercy upon them and bring healing into their lives. And Lord God, we desire to be faithful servants this coming week. Only you know what we will have to face, but help us to remember your promise that we can do all things through him who strengthens us, and the promise that the grace of Christ is all sufficient, and help us to remember that, Lord God, you are the one who can make all things work together for our good. We desire, Lord, that you would deal with our nation, that you would bring your judgments to bear upon the wicked, that you would frustrate their plans, those who fight so against you, Lord God, and help us to be faithful in our witness. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.